Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Butler dribbles to his right. Down in deep for Draymond. Left corner over to Moses Moody. It's a three and it's money in the bank. 130 to 122 Warriors. It's a 9-0 run for Golden State.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. Catch my head coach Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
That's right. This is where you get to talk Warrior basketball today after the win of the year. Okay, this is where you get to do it. So let's do it right now. 888-957-957. And Steve Kerr does join us in exactly 2 hours. And Steve will probably be in his happy place. Big win. He's in L.A. right now. Probably gets to go see family. So I'm expecting happy Kerr today.
I would expect the same thing.
Yeah.
And also reflective Kerr and appreciative Kerr, because of all the things he's gotten to see in his life as an NBA player, an executive, an assistant coach, and now a coach, he gets to watch Steph Curry. He gets a front row seat. And I don't know how many times you've been front row in an NBA game. I think I've got one, maybe two in my whole life. And Steph Curry was not playing when I got front row. This was back when the Warriors were terrible, and I was working at another radio station that had the Warriors on their air, and it was, hey, nobody can use the corporate seats. You
right.
want them?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Al Harrington's going to be out,
right.
but, you know, Beadrinse is playing, and so, you know, you go front row, and it's like, oh my God, this is incredible. It's an incredible experience, let alone when you get to watch this dude. And you're Steve Kerr, and you get to be literally on the floor, and you get to coach him, and it's like the appreciation for coaching this level of greatness for this long, it's not lost on him.
Well, no, definitely not. Let me throw this at you, and let's put this out there for everybody to chew on a little bit. 888-957-9570, and the question is did the starters have to do too much? And I ask that from a place of where I think the answer is no. I thought last night was great. In general, I do not have any level of concern that there was no role player who really stepped up and did anything amazing. I thought Moody was solid. Moody had 10 points and obviously hit a huge three right there at the end of the game. He was largely in charge of guarding Ja, did a nice job defensively, even though I know Ja kind of went off. I thought Moses played a pretty good game. But outside of that, the thing that we worry about with Warrior basketball was still on display. It was still there. Can somebody not named Steph make a freaking shot? And it was on display.
Yep.
But here's why I think last night was actually perfect. The Warriors played last night like a playoff game. And you can look at this one of two ways, I think. You can either look at it and go, well, yeah, they're going to be exhausted if you have to do that. And he's not going to be that on fire every single time in the playoffs. That's true. What I wanted to see, though, I wanted to see between Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, that if you really do that, if you lock in, dial in, play the number of minutes that you think you're going to play, go on the road against an activated opponent that really needs the game too, what's that going to look like? Is it going to look like it flows together? And the answer was unequivocally yes. You're not going to win all of your road playoff games against good teams. You're not going to win all of them, but you need to win some of them, a small handful of them. I don't think you need 52 points every time from Steph.
Yeah.
But you need those three at this point in the season to show that that mix works in that environment. And I thought last night the answer was yes. And that's the answer they've been looking for.
That's right. And, you know, Jimmy with 27, and he played 38 minutes, which is kind of close to what playoff Jimmy is. And, you know, I don't want to say the man's name because we've gone an hour and 7 minutes without mentioning him.
Don't say it.
I won't.
Then don't.
I'm not going to. He didn't play last night.
Somebody just texted it, and I'm like, I ain't reading that.
I'm not.
Bay Area. It's Jonathan Kuminga.
Don't. Say it.
Well, he said his own name, and I don't want to disparage him, but I'm just going to point out the fact that playoff Jimmy, or Himmy Butler, he played 38 minutes. And, you know, he could probably play 40 or 42, or he could play all the damn minutes if he wants, because that's what playoff Jimmy is. He had 27. Draymond Green, 13, 12, and 10. That's a triple-double. Now, it's not 61, which is, I think the Joker had 61.
He was just.
And we can get to that.
He was intense last night.
Like, man, if anyone's going to break Wilt's record, it might be him.
Oh.
And he might go for 120 and 20 because he's, I mean, the dude is that good at all three phases. But you talked about the big three, Steph with 52 and 10 and 8, by the way. Phenomenal. Draymond triple-double and Jimmy 27. If you get those three to do that, well, then maybe we are talking about June basketball.
Can we just talk a quick aside there on Nikola
Jokic? I love
Jokic.
A quick aside.
Listen to this. 61 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and I can give you a different number that'll wow you more than any of those three.
11 steals?
Nope.
13 turnovers?
Nope.
8 fouls?
He played 53 minutes.
That's all the minutes.
53 minutes.
In
that game last night.
Was that game double OT?
Double OT.
Oh, so not all the minutes.
Double up.
He played 53 of 58.
Correct.
53 minutes.
Of 58. He played 53 minutes. By the way, so did...
How'd they do?
They lost.
I mean...
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Russ.
I mean, either don't shoot a layup or make the layup. And the thing about that layup, that thing was like bottom of the basket.
Well,
it wasn't even close.
Here's no.
It and you was have not a fifth grader, and I've reffed fourth and fifth grade for 35 years. It looked like a fourth grade layup. Like, you're open, you have a layup. Ooh.
Dude, he hit the bottom of the rim.
The bottom of the basket.
He hit the bottom of the rim with a layup.
With a layup.
He is the oddest basketball player I've ever watched play. Like, it was on display when they came in here and beat the Warriors a week and a half ago.
Dude.
That guy will nail a three, and then on the next trip down, he'll, like, step back from 18 feet and shoot it 12. I've never seen air balls like this man throws up.
Right.
It's absolutely bananas. Here's where last night's Denver Nuggets loss has a silver lining for the Warriors. Did you know that the Nuggets play again tonight?
Tonight?
And then they play on Friday night here. Did you know that outside, if Russell Westbrook is their sixth man, and he is, and he played 38 minutes in that game last night off of the bench, all of the starters had, inflated minutes. Four of them had at least 45 or more. One starter, Jalen Pickett, had 32 minutes. Russ had 38. Outside of that, other Nuggets got 21 total minutes.
That's it?
That's it.
21 total.
That team is going to be exhausted. Exhausted. They've got to play again tonight. Double overtime, 53 minutes of basketball for Jokic, 61, 10, and 10.
And in a loss.
In a loss.
In a loss. And I just, the way he plays, like, he almost defies fitness, the way he kind of, like,
I know,
lopes up and down. And if you watched him and didn't know, like, what the score was or what the stats were, if you just watched him with your eyes, you'd think, This guy's kind of a joke.
Totally.
61, 10, and 10.
Yeah.
Multiple MVPs, and he probably, I don't know if he should win it this year because Shea is going to be awesome on a team that's going to win 70, maybe.
They're 16 and a half games ahead of the Nuggets.
I get it. But, like, the Joker could win the MVP every single year.
Of course. Yeah.
He's that good.
Yeah. They were just, I mean, in the overtime periods, they would just give him the ball and then let him back down, boom, boom, boom,
totally.
Boom. And then he just does that awkward kind of turnaround, whatever, one-hander. And it was just going in, at least most of the time. So, anyway, just an unbelievable night of basketball last night. Led by Steph Curry and Nikola Jokic, but the Warriors get the win and the Nuggets do not, and the whole thing is still a big old mess of a bucket right there in the Western Conference. The Nuggets in the 3 seed are a half game ahead of the Lakers in the 4 seed, which is 2 games ahead of the Warriors in the 5 seed, which is a half game ahead of the Grizzlies in the 6 seed. And Minnesota is tied with Memphis for the 7 seed, and another half game back goes to the Clippers at the 8 seed. So all of that energy goes into last night. We live it, we breathe it, we can't get enough of it. The Warriors get a win. You relax the shoulders a little bit, and you realize there's still a game out of the 8 seed. 1 game.
Right.
And the Clippers play a joke of a game tonight, and they're going to win it, and they're going to move even closer again.
Right. Number one.
There you go.
Yeah, it feels like it might all come down to that last game where
it might.
You know, you're the 6 and they're the 7, or maybe you're the 5 and they're the 6, and so it won't really matter, but it could come down to that last Clipper game.
Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Okay, 888-957-9570. What did that Warrior victory do for you? Whether it's your confidence, how you like them now, does this change the way you're looking at the remainder of the season? We can take those calls for sure. I've been holding this as long as I can. I can't hold it anymore. There is something I need to get off of my chest about last night's game. And it is Steph Curry related. And we will do that coming up next on Willard.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those 3 listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Dips.
Curry chased by Morant. Shot goes up wide left. He got clobbered by Morant. No call. They swallowed the whistle on the play. Bane picks up the dribble over to Morant. Morant drives on Butler. Pass inside to Edie. He dunks it over Moody in post. It's a 2-point game. 63-61.
I hate referee dibs.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Tim. And I just want to let the audience know right now we're about to fight. There's no way around this. Listen, I'm going to hold this as long as I possibly can.
Did great.
If I was the type of person to throw a remote, I would have right on that play that Grandy, you just played. Because Tim could have said it like this. Curry drives left, fouled by Morant. Still drives left, fouled by Morant again. Now he dribbles over to the corner, fouled by Morant. Oh, picks up the ball, fouled by Morant. Now we're heading the other way for a dunk. Now, you weren't here. This is the day that you were, the second day that you were in Vegas. A couple weeks ago.
Man, feels like a long time ago. I was there for 2 days.
It might have been 3.
I didn't call in, did I?
No, don't worry.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I meant to call in, and then
nope, you didn't.
I woke up and I checked my call log, and I was like 888-957-9570. I must have got hacked.
Yeah, no, don't worry. Don't worry.
Okay.
No, nothing happened.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, anyhow. This was the day after that. That was the day, the next day. Grandy and I were here, and we had gone together to the Raptors-Warriors game. Not like hand in hand, but we sat next to each other at the Warriors-Raptors game. And Steph Curry got thrown to the floor like a damn rag doll, and he had a pelvic contusion.
Yep, yep.
He landed on his butt, and it hurt really bad, and he missed two basketball games. And what I took from it, once we get past the, oh, crap, Steph's hurt, I hope it's not bad, which is the lead, once we got past that, yeah, your butt hurts.
Yeah.
I pointed to the fact, did anybody notice there's no foul called on the play? Thrown to the floor like a flipping rag doll. No foul.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know if he was thrown to the floor.
Thrown to the floor.
Okay. On the pass, by the way. He was.
I don't care what he was doing.
I'm just saying.
He was absolutely given a body shiver to the ground.
Should have been a foul.
And
yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So the nature of my point was not, I'm a Warrior fan and I want my guy to get my fouls and I hate refs. That was not the nature of my point. The nature of my point was, NBA, I don't understand what you're doing. You are an entertainment industry. This is not about fairness. I don't even really want to go down the road of a foul is a foul and a foul is a foul. I get it. It's hard. It's hard to be a ref. It's hard to be a basketball player. It's hard to do all of these things. But what did the NFL do? Once quarterbacks kept getting snapped in half, what did they do? They went, you know what? We probably shouldn't worry so much about fairness anymore. And they called a meeting with everyone who plays defense. And they said, hey, defense, guess what? Life's going to suck from here on out. All the rules are going to be against you. And you're going to deal with it because you're paid a lot of money and we make a lot of money. And the way we make a lot of money is we have our quarterbacks healthy and in the game. But here we are again. Here we are again after a game in Memphis where the guy is the national story because he put on a show unlike any other, yet he's still subjected to this crap. And got into a shoving match with Desmond Bane at the end of the game. And I have no doubt that that had very little to do with Desmond Bane. It has to do with the fact that a human being can only take so much. And at his size, he gets thrown around and shoved and body shivered and slapped all night long. And because of his size, in my opinion, he can't get a damn whistle. Now, he even spoke about this after the game on NBC Sports Bay Area.
It's my reality. I've been in this situation for a long time. It's like a playoff game. Like, you have to adjust to what you know, how the game's being called. You can have a reaction, but you don't want to let it distract you from, you know, what the task is. So I think trying to stay as even keel as possible, that doesn't mean you're passive or giving into it. You're kind of fighting through it and not looking to get bailed out, even though, you know, you feel like it's not going your way.
Okay. So that's his take on it, and he is elite with regard to how he handles it, which was kind of the point, I think, that both Fitz and Kalena were trying to make in bringing that up with him. But I don't know what to tell you, dude. Like, to me, when I see those shoving matches at the end of playoff-level atmosphere, I look to the refs. And it's not because it's like, oh, you got to call everything right. It's because you set a poor tone in an intense game. Because you are letting people get shoved around and you're not helping your stars get through that, and it leads to this kind of stuff. And I honestly think it's dangerous.
Well, I do think that the shoving match is totally different from the fact that he didn't get a lot of calls in the game. And I'm just watching it back now, and what Steph was doing after the whistle was trying to shoot a three, like a practice three, and Desmond Bane just was right next to him and he swatted the ball away. And I don't know what the protocol is officially about shooting the ball after the whistle. There was a timeout, and so timeout Warriors, and Steph wanted to shoot a three because he had the ball, and Desmond Bane was right next to him, and he didn't want him to shoot a
right,
three.
Right, but my point is I don't think that kind of an act leads to anything if frustration has not already been built for a 2.5-hour period.
I get your point, but for me, in that moment, he was frustrated because, you know, the whole game, And it's Memphis, and Memphis is going to try to physically jostle him, like every team is going to try to physically bump him off and, you know, get him out of his rhythm. Because you mentioned it before, how are you going to guard this guy? You can't guard him one-on-one because he's too fast and he shoots too quickly, and he's a very difficult guy to guard. So if you're Desmond Bane and you get to this point in the game, you're going to do whatever you can to try to get under his skin. And in this moment, he got to Steph because Steph wanted to shoot a three, a practice three, and Bane smacked the ball out of his hands. And, yeah, was the game overly physical? Absolutely.
Yep.
Does Steph need to get more calls? Yes, he does. And this is where I have a little bit of an issue over where he is in his career. And, you know, we had a very spirited back and forth, all of us on the show thread last night.
Not all of us. Grandy sat it out. I didn't know why. But anyway,
fine.
Go ahead.
I mean,
were you asleep or something? What were you doing last night?
Yeah, I was asleep.
Okay. Right.
And I'm not looking for anybody to engage. My only point on the thread, and I'll make it here, is Steph Curry needs to do more to get more. And it's not to say that he has to go into full flop mode. But if you look at other players like him in history, and the ones you threw out KD and Kobe, and I don't think that those for me are the comps. I was thinking this morning, all morning about this, like who's the best way to look at it in terms of Steph Curry? And I came up with Allen Iverson and Trae Young, players like Steph, players who play like Steph, and what are the free throw rates of these guys? Now, AI did not shoot the three nearly as often because the three wasn't the three
wasn't the thing that
when
it
he
was
played.
Now.
So
yep.
He drove to the hoop a lot more.
Yep.
Iverson, for his career, 9 free throw attempts a game. And he made 7 of the 9, 78%. Great. Trae Young, modern equivalent of Steph. He's not as good as Steph, but he plays a lot like Steph, and he gets 7.6 free throws a game. Steph Curry, for his career, 4.3 free throws a game. Mm-hmm. So does Steph drive less than Trae Young? No.
I think actually so.
But go ahead.
But, yeah.
I mean, my point is, if I'm Steph and I've played 16 years now in the association and I'm still not getting a call, I would go about things in a different manner. And you look at Trae Young, and he is one of the biggest complainers in the association. James Harden shoots more free throws than almost anybody.
Well,
he complains.
Right. He doesn't just complain. He's literally playing a different brand of basketball, which is, I find, to be terribly unwatchable. I find it to also just be, I'm not going to say that it's like underhanded, but the bottom line is as I've said in the past, James Harden, Chris Paul, guys like this, they play a game of let's get the ref to think something that didn't happen happened. That's the game they're playing. I do not want Steph Curry to get denigrated into that area.
I don't either.
At all. Like, not even a tiny bit.
I agree with that part of it. But what I want Steph to do is be more animated and be more of a squeaky wheel, because if you are somebody who is going to be an agitator, if you're going to complain more, if you're going to advocate for yourself, you're going to get more calls. And, you know, going on with Fitz and Buki in the post game and being vague about how mad you really are, that doesn't work. You have to be more aggressive. You have to get at Mark Davis, for example. Last night, Mark Davis, by the way, who always gives the Warriors a bad whistle. I do think that Steph Curry would do himself a big favor if he was more animated in moments like
last
night. Okay,
here's the problem I have with your point, and you can weigh in on this. 888-957-9570 is the point. I feel like that's just a huge cop-out for the refs. Why should he have to act different for them to do what they're supposed to do? Like, if I were to take your comp, like, I understand where you're coming from. Would Steph get more calls if he was a bigger jerk on the court? Maybe. I don't want him to be a jerk. One of the things we love about Steph Curry is the way he plays. And I think that that is of the long list of things that he does so well that has made the audience react to him in a way that they've never reacted before in the history of the league, is because he doesn't get into this crap. Like, we literally sit here and watch the NBA and go, flop, flop, that guy's a flop. No one's ever said it about Steph. No one. I've heard Warrior fans who used to really struggle to watch Jordan Poole because every drive he'd end up under the damn basket on the ground and the other team's going the other way and he's talking to a ref. And we've talked about Luka, who won't stop talking to the refs when he's supposed to be playing defense. And LeBron James is over here at 6'8", 1,000 pounds, and apparently can fall down if you're 150 pounds and you touch him. I don't want Steph to do any of that. And to suggest that he should do that so that the referees will do what they should already be doing anyway, I just think is a very, very bad precedent. It's kind of like telling a kid, it's like if you want dinner, don't do your homework, misbehave. In fact, don't do your homework, smear crayons all over the wall, and then we'll realize that you need our attention, and we'll come over and go, do you need some attention? Well, yeah, I want a snack. I'm going to give you a snack. No. It's snack time. Give the kid a snack while they're sitting there doing their math. Steph's doing it right, and the refs and the league are doing it wrong.
But it's year 16.
It's not that hard to see. We can see it.
Fine.
They're getting thrown to the floor. Blow the damn whistle.
It's year 16, and they aren't blowing the damn whistle.
That's their fault.
Well, okay.
I'm going to call them out, not him.
Fine, and I'm not going to disagree with you that it's, quote, their fault. I don't think that he gets the calls that he deserves, but when you're 16 years in and you look at the list this year of who has shot the most free throws in the association, Giannis is number one. Fine, he's unguardable. You have to foul him. Shea is number two. Does Shea complain a lot? He complains some.
It's not even just complaining. It's flopping. He's a flopper.
James Harden is three.
Flopper.
Trae Young is four.
Flopper.
Anthony Edwards is five.
Right.
Devin Booker is six.
And how many titles have all of them won?
That's not the point of this conversation.
It is the point.
The point is,
it doesn't work.
If you want the whistle, you have to advocate in a different way, and he doesn't do that.
I disagree.
Well,
I don't want him to change his game.
I think the numbers don't disagree.
No, the numbers don't.
I'm not saying you have to flop. I'm saying that if you're Steph Curry, it's okay in spots to take the mouthpiece out and get after a referee and say, you got to be kidding me, instead of just like shrug.
I think he does do that.
I don't think he does it enough.
I think he, in Brooklyn, they came out with such, you remember the game, they fell down 27-5, and the Nets were being so absurd and so over the top with the way that they were hounding him and the way that they were whacking him on the arm and shoving him around, and nobody would whistle him, to the point where Steph Curry did it in the way that Steph does it, which is he took an inbounds pass underneath his own hoop, and as they tried to pick him up full court, he gave a full shoulder shove into the defender, knocking him down, getting an offensive foul called, so that he could turn to the ref and go, do you understand the point that I'm trying to make? And then what happened? Poof, Warriors come back, win the game. Steph has a nice night. But it shouldn't have to even be that way. I understand your point.
I agree with you.
You have data. But I have what I believe is the emotionally correct side in terms of I'm not bailing refs out by saying this is Steph's fault because he's not a squeaky wheel. That's just that's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's his fault.
You know this. My cousin, may he rest in peace, was an NBA ref. And I'll never forget one of the things that he told me, because one night, years ago, he was doing a Warrior game and he was in town early, so he came over to the house. So probably, I don't know, 2 in the afternoon. He doesn't need to be at the arena yet. And we sit down and we're just talking shop. And as a kid and an NBA fan, one of the things that came up is like, okay, how do you prepare for a game? Because foul's a foul, right? How do you prepare for a game? And I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, every game, as referees, we get together and we talk about the players that are in this particular game and what we need to do to officiate this correctly. And he looks at me and he goes, this is back when Manute Bol was a Warrior.
Yeah.
He goes, tonight, one of the things we will sit down and talk about is the fact that Manute, he likes to just stand underneath the hoop because he likes to wait and block all the shots because he's 7'6". But you're not allowed to do that. You can't just stand there and play zone defense.
Defensive three in the key.
Exactly.
Yep.
So we talk about that so that we're prepared for the specific players that we're about to officiate. Why can't you do that for Steph? He is the smallest of all the people we're talking about. Go over your list. Your list is largely going to be people who are bigger and therefore are afforded the ability to play a more physical brand of basketball.
Trae Young is 6'1".
Yes, I understand that.
That, for me, is the best comp in all this. And Iverson was 6 foot, and as I mentioned, AI was much more to the basket.
Exactly.
Because the mid-range and driving to the hoop is what you did back in his day. Trae Young is playing now, and Trae Young is number 4 in free throw attempts. Does Trae Young drive more than Steph? I don't know if he does.
He does, and he's got the ball in his hands even more than Steph. Steph, of course, to borrow Steiny's great line, not a true point guard. I mean, he's not he doesn't bring the ball over the timeline all the time. The Warriors run their offense, which does not call for Steph to just grab the ball and penetrate and kick in his own way. That's ball stopping. That's Atlanta Hawks ball. That's why you got more L's than W's.
No doubt.
Right? So, like, again, I hear where you're coming from. I don't want Steph to be the one that has to change. Like, that's just wrong. He should not have to be the one who makes the change.
I get it.
They should.
You're not wrong, but I look at 16 years of NBA basketball, and Steph Curry is shooting more threes than ever before. And if you look at Steph just this year, and I'm looking at the numbers right now, 707 threes he's taken, 1,128 total shots, which tells me 707 threes, 421 twos.
Yep.
So we'll put aside him being fouled on the three for a moment, because the majority of what people want is when he goes to the basket, right? That's where...
I mean, to a degree, that thing that Grandy just played, Steph never went inside the three-point line. I can show you a video. It's all over social media today.
Right.
Ja fouls him 4 times.
Yeah.
Just on the left wing alone.
No call.
No call.
And that game was very physical. They called 45 fouls in totality, 23 and 22 respectively. And
yep.
So, you know, I don't want to defend the refs because it's a bad look. And in this case, I agree with you about Steph not getting the whistle that he deserves. I do think, though, that Steph Curry needs to take a different approach. If you're 16 years into the league and you've never gotten a fair whistle, he's only shooting 4 free throws a game for his career, and in fact, his free throws are down year over year from last year and the year before. So if you are 16 years in and you're still not getting the whistle that you feel like you deserve, take a different approach. I'm not saying you got to go full flop or full Harden or full Iguodala with the palms up, but you got to do something else. Maybe one game when you're playing Charlotte at home, not in Charlotte, because I know it's a family game. Maybe you just straight blow up and you get thrown out. Or maybe you go in the post game and you get a $50,000 fine.
But who
do
wants
something
that? Why?
Else.
But who wants those things?
Do you want free throws?
Yes.
Then do something else.
No, they should do something else.
But they're not going to.
But they should.
But they haven't.
So how
long do you want to repeat this cycle? It's insanity,
yeah,
Mark.
Except for the fact that it's like if we're sitting here and we're all agreeing that somebody needs to make a move, I don't know why you're suggesting that has to be Steph. The NFL yesterday sat down, and with all going on with the Warriors, we didn't even talk about it. You know what they came out with? Bunch of new rules. They sat down and went, you know what? That was stupid. Let's do this differently. Why can't the NBA do that? And even if it's just for Steph, I don't even think that's crazy. Augusta National changed the golf course for Tiger.
Yep.
This is the face of your league and the audience's favorite thing that's ever happened to your league since Michael Jordan. And you won't adjust to protect him from busting his tailbone in half before the playoffs start? You won't do that? You can't make a call. We talk about this all the time in the NBA. Ooh, the bat phone rang. We need the Lakers to get by Portland in 7 games so that we can get them to the NBA Finals so people can watch. You won't make that call? You're not going to make that call. So that Memphis, Tennessee doesn't end up advancing in the NBA playoffs over Steph because you allowed a bunch of dudes who don't even have a head coach and don't even have an on-court leader, you allowed them to go out there, guns up at each other, shoving people all over the place, losing their minds, and you won't protect your biggest asset. That is bananas to me.
Well, if they didn't protect him, and that's what you're saying, he had 52. And
understood.
Even though you didn't protect him. And the thing about him bruising his tailbone, even if they call that foul, he still goes down and bruises his tailbone.
But the point is to your point, if there is going to be learned behavior, defenses will stop being so insanely physical with him if the officials will protect him. But they know. They can do this. It's literally, I guarantee you, it's on the whiteboard in their locker room. Beat him up.
Right.
Beat him up. It's what the Pistons tried to do to Jordan for years until they finally said, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. Why can't the league do it? It did work. It did work. The
Bad Boy Pistons. You beat up Jordan. And then,
they couldn't keep the Jordan rules for his entire career. They couldn't do it.
Well, eventually Michael Jordan was able to play through that contact and beat Detroit, and then Detroit got old, and then Jordan started on his historic run. The idea of the officials, I'm not excusing them or discounting what you're saying.
I hear you.
It's clearly a thing, but I'm looking at 16 years of Steph Curry, and you've never gotten it. So if you're going to wait for the refs to adjust and finally give you a good whistle, that is one way you could go about it. I would advocate for Steph to say, you know what? There's going to be a point here where I'm just going to have to blow up and blow this whole thing up. If you truly are the global icon that you are, and he is, then maybe one of your post games, you just go off and you take the 50K or the 100K and you just run them down, because everything else you've done with all of your docile diplomacy, which is wonderful, and that's why we love him.
Exactly.
At some point, you got to try something else. You got to try something different.
Boy, if there's one human being in all the sports who I don't want doing anything different, it's Stephen Curry.
Well, then just be happy with his 4 free throws a game.
No, I don't think
the refs won't change. They haven't changed, and they won't change.
Well, then you should be able to give Steph Curry that leeway too, that he shouldn't have to change. The rules are the rules, and right now they're not being followed at all. They're being followed by him. They're not being followed by the people who are there to actually put them into play. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. We're here for you. We're here for good. We're here for your calls. We see some of you. We're coming. Hex, Matt, Judy, here we go. 888-957-9570. We will not stop celebrating an unbelievable victory for the Warriors, but I think this is an interesting subplot. So we'll get to it, and Steve Kerr joins us in just over an hour on Willard and Dibbs.
Bane has the rebound. Bane the other way. Leans in, lost the ball, stolen by Draymond. Draymond leads the break. Draymond bounce past Butler. Pass over to Curry. Curry in the corner, takes it away from Wells, and hits a three! Steph Curry, 29-point first half. It's 68-63 Warriors with a minute 38 to go. A timeout by the Grizzlies. Most points in a half by a Grizzly opponent is Curry's 29 on the Warriors Radio Network.
Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. My head coach Steve Kerr joins Willer and Dibbs today, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, be here in just over an hour. And someone get Tim Roy a flight home. These guys, he sounds great. The Warriors look great. But they have been gone for what feels like a month.
It'll be 2 weeks at the end of it.
Jeez, so they're in L.A. now. We'll talk to Steve in an hour. And then they'll be in their beds all tucked in tomorrow night, circa 2 in the morning probably.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, something like that.
And I wonder what they do to remember their room number in all these hotels. Because I know I was in Vegas, yes, I mentioned it, and even at that point, one hotel room, two nights, it's like, I better write this down.
Yeah.
And if you go 6 cities and 6 hotels, like, I'm in 114, I'm in 219, 311, what is it every time? It's like, you got to kind of write that thing down.
I mean, unless you end up in Miami for 5 days where you needed laundry service. You might have put your clothes away in Miami.
Yep.
Might have used those drawers inside the hotel room.
Seriously.
But outside of that, yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. We could ask Steve this. When you open your eyes in the morning, whether it's an alarm or in the NBA life, do you just allow yourself to wake up? The first thing that goes through your head, is it like, where am I?
Yeah.
Where in God's name am I?
I actually had that yesterday where I woke up and I looked to my left with a squinty eye expecting the beach view that we had in the ocean.
Oh.
And it was just my bathroom.
And it was your wall. Yeah. Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's right. I'm no longer on vacation.
We got a lot of Warrior phone calls to get to after that conversation. We do want to mention that along with Steve Kerr in an hour, maybe some intermittent thoughts on the fact that the San Francisco Giants have just completed a 5-1 road trip to start the season. Off tomorrow, home opener on Friday, 6-3 in Houston today, home runs for Flores, Matos, and Wade. Another extra base hit for Ramos. Landon Roop, the kid, did a nice job.
Roop, yep. There it is.
Yep. The Roop is on fire. All those silly things.
Yep.
But dude, 5-1. 5-1, 5-1, call my message phone.
Right.
That's a hell of a start to the year, all on the road.
Yeah.
All on the road.
And only 8 games back of the Dodgers,
right,
who I'm being told are 22-0. So
that's right.
They keep chipping away, Giants.
Dodgers and Padres have played a sum total of 2 road games so far.
Okay.
And I think, actually, the 2 road games for the Dodgers were not even really road games. I think they were the games that were overseas, and they were just designated road games.
Gotcha.
I think. The Padres have not left home yet, and they've won all of their baseball
games.
Man, but
fun stuff. 5-1, great start.
They're pitching. They're pitching,
and they're catching.
Yes, no errors. There were some today. They have some official errors or just bad defense.
I don't know if those were officially errors.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff.
A little infield single.
Yeah,
that about 87 feet in the air.
Well, good Lord. I'm gonna save that for Friday. Yeah, actually, technically, okay. No, they did not commit an error again today.
Nice.
The Giants have not committed an error on the entire trip.
And on that inning where the Astros scored at least 2 of their 3 runs, there was also a ball that got past Casey Schmidt at first base, right?
Yes,
under his glove.
Off the glove. Yeah. Chappie had one of those last night. An off the glove, probably could have. He'd tell you he should have called
but
it kind of a thing.
Not an error.
But not an error. Not there. It was a hard-hit ball, Dibs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And Casey Schmidt at first?
Yeah, that's going to be the deal.
Okay.
He's going to be like the right-handed hitting first baseman. I don't think anybody knew that, and then it just sort of happened.
Right.
And then last night they admitted it. They're like, yeah, we're going to do that. He's going to play some first base.
Sure.
Okay.
When you have Wilmer in the lineup every day, you got to find a different right-handed first baseman, right?
Yeah, Wilmer's just going to be your DH, and he's going to hit 162 home runs this year.
5-1, best start since?
Last year. No, just kidding.
2010, I would guess.
2014?
Yeah.
2014.
I knew it was a World Series year based on his exuberance.
2014, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Giants fan.
All right, let's go to the phone. Let's go to the phones. 888-957-9570. Dibs says Steph Curry is just doing it all wrong. He's doing it all wrong.
Self-advocate. If what you're doing for 16 years is not netting the results you want, do something different.
Okay.
Throw a mouthpiece, get into a ref, get 2 techs and get ejected, go into the press conference afterward, and just go off on Petritis.
But the problem with that, even though at the core of what you're saying, it makes sense in life, if you're not getting the result you want, do something different. You're asking for Steph to do things that are literally against the core of who he is. And I would argue, and this is my point, he shouldn't have to. Like, I'm just not a believer in bailing people out in life like that.
I agree with that. The second part of it I agree with.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have to.
He shouldn't have to. So,
but he does.
But he shouldn't have to.
But he does.
But I'm not bailing the league out like that. It's just not right. If you have 2 people and one person's doing it wrong, you don't look at the person that's doing it right and say, adjust the way you're doing it so it fits with Johnny Stupid over here who's doing it wrong. Like, no. And what blows my mind about this subject matter is not even that, like, I mean, it's so easy to come down the road of refs. But if what we were talking about was, hey, for some reason, Moses Moody doesn't get any calls. Like, whatever. Whatever. Them's the breaks, kids. You haven't made a name for yourself in this league yet. But we're talking about the face of the league.
Yeah.
We're talking about a guy that gets crowds on the road to cheer for him. Why would the league not go out of their way to get it right? When you're officiating, don't act like you don't watch the games after they're over, league. I know you do. You tell me you don't see this? It's flying all over the place, getting knocked all over the gym, and there's no whistle. And you telling me, like, that's the way it is. What?
Right.
Dude, if somebody was sacking Tom Brady the wrong way every game, Roger Goodell would kick those people out of the league, let alone worry about, oh, Tom, just, you know, adjust the way you're standing. Like, I don't understand why
Mahomes
the league.
Mahomes is a great comp. Like, you look at the playoffs this year.
There you go.
He got 2 15-yard flags on things that shouldn't have been 15-yard flags,
right.
Yet You look at Steph Curry, 16 years in the league, and he hasn't been the face of the league for 16 years, but he has been for a good nine or so.
At least,
he's been one of the faces. He's a four-time champ. He's all these things that are so wonderful, yet he doesn't get the whistle. So let's just go ahead and continue to be the baby-faced assassin and just, you know, quietly grumble, passive-aggressive post-game commentary. You know what? That's not working. So what might work is you get up in somebody and you get after somebody because you know what? What you've done is not working. So
you'll get this answer right.
You can continue to do this over and over, but it's not working.
What's the one word? Our first phone call before we started this show, what's the one word that I made both of us promise we would always be?
Authentic.
Correct.
Yeah, and I'm being authentic.
Yes, but you're asking Steph to be inauthentic.
No, I'm really not.
No, you're asking, what you're suggesting is totally, you would agree, is against the core of who he is as a person.
I don't know him that well. I know this.
Come on.
I know that he's a very competitive person, and I know that he's frustrated. Can he not, in his own eloquent way, come out and just say what he wants to say? That doesn't make him inauthentic. I don't believe.
Well, that's not the way you pitched it a second ago. You pitched it a second ago as throw mouthpieces, get thrown out, get a tech, knock over a food spread at the press conference.
Didn't go that far, but
no,
yes.
That's not, my God. The world would stop if Steph did that.
What the hell
is going on?
Like, he's gotten texts before.
Yeah.
So when you're frustrated, it's okay to let the officials know if you're frustrated with the calls you're not getting.
Oh, I think he does.
And I don't think that makes him suddenly inauthentic. And, you know,
I think if he freaked out at a press conference, that feels inauthentic to me. That's not him.
You know, he can do it in his own way.
Yeah.
All I'm asking him to do is if you want to change a 16-year pattern, you need to do something differently. I'm not excusing the refs, and you're right about that. They need to be better about protecting him. But 16 years in, they haven't been. So ball's in your court, Steph.
Yeah, I see. I think it's in theirs. Just like, again, if you're wrong 100 times in a row, we as a society should not adjust to you because you're wrong 100 times in a row. 888-957-9570. Let's do it. Here we go, folks. Hex in Berkeley. Hi, Hex. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for putting me on.
Yeah.
I want to say a couple. Just give me a minute for this. Willard, let me start off by saying fundamentally, it'd be nice if society changed for the way we thought it should be to do what's right. But I agree with Dibs. If 16 years in a row, you know, the same thing keeps happening. There's an old phrase, you keep doing what you did, you keep getting what you got. And so with respect to, you know, if you're walking down the street and for 16 years you're wearing red and the same cop arrests you all the time and you find out that they don't arrest you if you're wearing blue, you can keep wearing red because it's not fair, or you stop wearing the red so that same cop doesn't arrest you. The thing is that, Dibs, I disagree with you. I agree that you got to change what you're doing, but I also agree with Willard that he's right. You stay authentic and you don't change his brand. His brand is a babyface killer. He doesn't complain that much, you know, et cetera. So there is a middle ground. And that's what I don't understand. To me, what Curry needs to do is learn from Butler. In this league, everybody, there's a lot of grabbing and pulling and tugging, and we really see it with Curry, but the way you get the fouls is when you drive to the basket, you run right into somebody, and unless they're squared up like Pajinski's done a good job, you're going to get the fouls all day long, and Curry is a good enough athlete. When he goes in, he ends up avoiding some people that are somewhat sideways or moving. He ought to be throwing himself into people, and he doesn't do that, and he hasn't done it for 16 years, and that's why he doesn't get the fouls when he drives to the basket. These other guys have all learned to drive into people. That's why Kuminga's starting to get, you know, he's been getting fouls. He's learned when he's going down. He's so fast, nobody can square up, so he gets a foul. Curry can do the same thing, and if Curry just started driving into people when he's going down the lane, he'd be getting fouls all day long. But if you notice when he goes, he's avoiding, he's sliding through because he's a great athlete, and he barely gets touched.
Hex, thanks. It's a good phone call. I'll say this, though. What it sounds to me like, and I feel this to a degree in talking to you about it, Dibs, is that there's some sort of a suggestion that Steph Curry should change the way he plays basketball. And I'm like, oh, my God, please, please, no. I don't want Steph Curry driving into the lane and forcing himself into the chest of the defender. That takes away the beauty of the way that Steph Curry finishes around the rim. It takes away, quite frankly, what Steph has worked so hard on is in his entire career, which is those creative finishes around the basket, how to use other people's body leverage against them. That's a beautiful thing to watch, and I do not want that to go away. And if that means a few fewer calls, I'm actually okay with that, and I bet he is too. I'm not even talking about a style that gets more calls. I'm really simply just talking about the calls that are right there.
Agreed.
Which for some damn reason, he doesn't get.
Right. And let's just...
What is that?
Let's leave it there.
Okay.
Because I do... What the caller is saying is something that I've said before, and it's partly the way he plays. I don't want him to change the way he plays, but a lot of times he doesn't get calls going to the basket because he does avoid contact. He doesn't go into the body. He's 6'2", as you mentioned. He might be a 185. I haven't seen him on a scale lately, but he's not going to go in physically, draw contact, and finish. That's just not his game. So it's really the calls that should go his way that he's not getting. So let's just stay on that, because you're right, stylistically, I don't want him to change anything. For me, if you want to get the calls that you're not getting and you haven't gotten for 16 years, you have to figure out how you can go about getting those calls. And I don't think that, you know, what he's doing obviously is not netting him the calls that he deserves.
But I don't think we've accessed the why yet. And hold that thought. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.